Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, thank you to all for coming, making this festival possible. Many devotees are working very hard right now, working day and night, serving day and night. So many departments, cooking, providing thousands of eager Vaishnava stomachs with their necessities so that they have more enthusiasm and energy to jump high in the kirtan. Unfortunately, I missed out on the jumping in the kirtan this time. It's cooking, vegetable cutting, decoration, flower preparations, donors, organizers, drivers. So many different devotees have worked very hard to make this festival. I think we can say it's a success. It's not over yet, but it's a success because it's meant for Shravan Kirtan, and there has been a lot of Shravan Kirtan, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, and that in itself is a success to utilize our valuable human life for hearing and chanting about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who in this part of the world, which is not part of this world, is not known very much as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Work that out if you can. I hope you can understand what I'm talking about. Just before Mangalati, when I saw Gokulchandra Prabhu, I thought about 1990s, it must have been, in Baroda. And at that time, we couldn't expect that things would come to this. The temple wasn't opened. I don't think there's anyone there from those days, from that party, only Achyuta's mother, Basu Ghosh's daughter. I presume she's here somewhere out there. Otherwise, who else is here from that time? But so many others have come in the meantime, and it gives us some hope, some idea that it can be expanded more and more and more, so that we'll look back and think, oh, remember, just like we're looking back and thinking, oh, Baroda in the 1990s, just a few people, and we'll think, yeah, I remember 2022, we had that small festival with just a few people. It's all a great credit to the local preaching leaders in particular, who have gone out to different places, and by utsaha nischayadharayat tat tat karma pravartanat, by enthusiasm, determination, patience, following the prescribed process, they have gradually brought more and more people here. So it's a great credit to your preaching and that you're so dedicated and bringing devotees here with faith in me, bringing them to me for initiation. The faith is that I am connecting, or it's a joint effort, we're all connecting devotees to Srila Prabhupada, who connects us to his guru and all the way up to Krishna. And of course we have a direct connection also. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Ho. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. So by hearing and chanting about Krishna, we come in direct contact. So it's, Srila Prabhupada explained once, it's direct and there's, as he would say, via medium also. We should always remember we're all living on the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. I saw in this festival some devotees with little badges with my photo of my head on it, going back, a photo from about 30 years ago or something. Better you have badges of Srila Prabhupada. I don't want to proliferate this. Badges of myself. We don't want, of course, I'm a person, but we don't want a personality cult where it's based on some hype, something like a film star or a cricket star or something like that. Hearing, chanting, serving, remembering, this is the essence of Krishna consciousness. So many disciples. I didn't know what it would be like to have so many disciples. Many I've given the name, but if I meet them, I won't recognize them. I don't know the name, and they're wondering what's going on. I've explained this many times, but still I get a lot of devotees expressing to me their expectation that they would spend time with me personally. But it's just like when I was allowed to join this movement in 1975, I couldn't personally go to Srila Prabhupada, talk with him. It's just the reality of the situation. The Shravan Kirtan camps are arranged so that devotees can hear directly from myself and others, and we can all join together in Kirtan. Now, by the arrangements made through modern technology, I'm available wherever the towers go. And books are there also. I was given some new books published today, not written by myself, but published by Bhakti Vikas Trust. Some more books of Baladev Vidyabhushan, translated by Damien Martins. Then you may wonder, why can't I get so much close personal association like others do? Well, in my own case, I feel, well, that's Krishna's arrangement. It's my tremendous good fortune, indescribable good fortune, to have come to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And if Krishna had desired it, I would have come to him in 1966. Or I would have come earlier. I would have had opportunities for personal association. But it was Krishna's desire that I'm serving Srila Prabhupada in this capacity. And I don't feel any the less for it. And I see that some devotees who did have very close personal association with Srila Prabhupada, they didn't do so well after he left this world. And even in his presence, they didn't do so very well. So really, as Srila Prabhupada always stressed, association and with and service to the spiritual master is primarily by the means of hearing and serving. And that also answers the question that, well, why take so many disciples if you can't personally cater to them all? Well, Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to have many disciples. There's nothing new in the history of Vaishnavism. So many gurus in the past had thousands of disciples, but they had systems also by which all the disciples could receive training and guidance. As Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON expands more and more, in some cases the systems for guidance and training aren't set up so very well in some particular areas. There may not be the kind of association of senior devotees that you might hope for and expect. So please bear with us. We can't always provide whatever you might expect for your spiritual life, but that can also make us stronger. Recently, in England, I spoke to one of my biological sisters for the first time in about almost 50 years. On the phone, I spoke with her. And she was remembering, oh, do you remember how in our childhood we were left alone? It's a long story, but she and I were left alone in the house for months on end. And I said, yeah, but I think that's good because it helped to make me strong, not to have to rely on others. Similarly, in the 1980s especially, for most of my time that I was new in Krishna consciousness, I had very little association of any devotees. In Sankirtan vans, then out on the streets. Then in Bangladesh in the 1980s, there were so few devotees that we'd just go here and there. Of course, there are many devotees in this, and many, wherever we went, there were devotees, but they didn't follow as Srila Prabhupada taught. They didn't have any idea of how to properly follow. So we'd go out ourselves here and there, and then a similar situation in Thailand, and sometimes I go to Burma and I just go alone. There's no one else to go. So that also then, what do I do? I didn't have so much association, but I had Srila Prabhupada's books and his instructions. There was his mission, and I feel that brought me very close to Srila Prabhupada by having to depend on him in the form of his instructions. And his service. And now I'm taking so much service from disciples, so much service and so much love. As I was explaining yesterday or the day before, that is natural. As Srila Prabhupada told one astonished American woman, she was astonished that his disciples were worshipping him. And Srila Prabhupada matter-of-factly replied, yes, that's the way we do it. I worship my guru and my disciples worship me. And it's not just some cultural usage. as some people seem to think, that there's Vedic culture and there's Chinese culture and there's American culture, which is of course the best culture ever in the existence of the world. Some people seem to think, they're mostly Americans think like that, but many others think like that also. Unfortunately, in India, many people think like that also. But it's not just another culture. Vedic culture is Krishna's culture. Krishna comes to this world and he shows his pastimes, and it's the same with a few little differences here and there. It's the same in every universe, and it's the same culture. It's the culture of the spiritual world. So in that culture there is hierarchy and there is respect and service to seniors by juniors, and then seniors, they also train and guide and bless the juniors. So this is the culture. And particularly in Vaishnavism, the extreme point of this comes to worship of the guru. But that's, it's not a cultural usage only, but there's a vital spiritual principle there. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadaha yasya prasada nagati katopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of Krishna. If the spiritual master is displeased with one, then no hope, whatever else you might do, whatever else we might do, there's no hope for us. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, who of course was the one who encapsulated this principle, yasya, in those, these are his words, yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadaha yasya prasada nagati katopi. Elsewhere in his writings, if there's a fly, whisk it away. Otherwise, don't. Elsewhere in his writings, he expanded on this principle by stating that the instructions of my guru are my sadhana and my life. Now I'm beginning, I'm learning, I'm a student. Now I'm expanding on what he said, or what Vishwanatha Chakravarti said. I'm a student and I'm learning, but I cannot envisage any time in future. I expect by the mercy of Guru, I pray and I hope that by the mercy of my Guru, I will come to the perfectional stage of direct service to Krishna. But even then, it's not that, well, thanks a lot, Guruji, bye-bye. But even then, following the orders of my spiritual master, that is my very life. That is what I have to do. Nothing else. I don't desire anything else. Now I've come to this fortunate position of being able to serve him, and that's all. Now it's already, that's already the perfectional stage. My mind, my consciousness might not be in the perfectional stage, but to serve the guru who is connected with Krishna, that in itself is perfectional stage. Because bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya, bhakti in the beginning stages gives rise to bhakti in the perfectional stage. Bhakti gives rise to bhakti. As Srila Prabhupada was once asked, so we're told, what does this chanting lead to? Srila Prabhupada said, more chanting. It's not a mean, well, in one sense it's a means to an end, but in another sense it is the end itself. It's just a matter of purification of consciousness, otherwise, which is affected by chanting the holy names. But in the perfect stage and in the immature stage, basically the same activities. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, I don't desire anything else in my life, even in my dreams. It doesn't matter to me whether I'm happy or distressed. Tomar shevai duk hoi jato sheyoto paramashuk. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says this, that any distress encountered in your service, I take that as the highest happiness. So whether I'm happy or not in this material world is immaterial to me. And whether I'm liberated or not from this material world, that doesn't matter. Whatever happens, I just must carry out the order of my spiritual master. With the understanding that this is perfection. This is the path of perfection. Nothing else to do. This is the best thing I could do. There are so many options of so many things we can do in this world, especially in contemporary society. Today's society, there are so many things. If we break out of the constrictions of the duties and the obligations that others expect of us, we can be free, some idea of freedom. If you get enough money, you can travel around the world, you can go horse riding, you can go scuba diving, you can go whale hunting, you can do go to the bottom of the sea, you can go round the world in 80 days, you can have sex with anything mobile or immobile if you have enough money. You can do. There are so many things you can do in your life. But the understanding that this is the perfection, this freedom is a myth. The whole idea of having freedom, and then what we really need is freedom. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches that we want bondage. We should be the slave of a slave of a slave of a slave of a slave of the only one person who is really free, who binds everyone up, either in voluntary service, bound by love, bhakti badham. Krishna is bound by love, and the devotees are bound to him in a bond of love. And if we don't want to love Krishna, then we are bound up in this material world. And sometimes we think, I am free to do what I like. So to voluntarily accept service to the Vaishnava, that is in itself the perfection of life. We may think, well, I want to serve God. I all this guru, why do you have to have a guru in the way? What's all this? I want to go to God directly. But that in itself is another kind of ridiculous pride. Who are we to go to God directly? Who wants to go and see the chief minister of UP? That's a big position in UP, Uttar Pradesh. You can't just walk in and see him. You have to make, if at all it's possible to see, you might be able to see him at some political meeting, some rally. They'll have so many guards and they'll have barricades. And the closest you could come to him is a little further than a bullet could be shot. Otherwise, you could be introduced and get to meet him. such a big man. Of course, outside India, his name is hardly known, except among Indians overseas. But even to see, even what to speak of the chief minister of UP, you can't just walk into the office of the district tahsildar. You have to have some appointment, this, that. And we think, I will go to God directly. This is ridiculous. He made a system. He also has his system of delegating responsibilities. So Narottam Das, who is one of the great acharyas whose footsteps we aspire to follow in, he has described this principle in one of his songs. Thakura Vaishnavapad Abanir Shushampad Shunobhai Hoya Ekamon Ashoya Loya Bhaje Tare Krishna Nahitaje Arshab More Akaron. He says that the feet of a great Vaishnava are the real wealth, the best wealth of the earth. And he says, just listen, tune in, be focused to what I'm saying. One who worships Krishna by taking shelter of the Vaishnava is not rejected by Krishna. In other words, he's accepted by Krishna. And anyone else who doesn't follow this system, they're just uselessly living their life. They live and they die. It's all useless. And he goes on to explain this principle more and more. Vaishnav charana jal prema bhakti dite bal ar keho nahe balavanta. The water from the feet of a Vaishnava has great power. There's nothing else with such power to give prema bhakti. Vaishnava charan renu mostake bhushan binu anahi bhushaner anta. The only proper decoration for the head is the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee. Then he says something, Narottam Das says something quite amazing. Tirtha jal pavitra gune likhi ache purane. The Puranas, they praise the purity, the quality of the purifying quality of the water in holy places. You'll find in different Puranas, Mahabharata, the value of bathing at Pushkar, at Kurukshetra, at Tirtharaj Prayag, at so many different places, Godavari, Sindhu, Narmada, so many places it's recommended for bathing. But Narottam Das says, Seshab Bhaktir Pravanchan. It's all cheating. What the Puranas say about bathing in different holy places, from the perspective of pure devotional service, it's just cheating. It's misleading you. Because, he goes on to explain, Vaishnava padodak sham nahi eshab jate hoi banchito puran. None of them are equal to the water from the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, which can fulfill one's old desire. That means we have so many desires. We go to holy places to get free from sins, to ask for blessings, for our material improvement. But the deep desire in our heart is simply to love Krishna. So, Ashrayaloya Bhaje Tare Krishna Nahitaje. Narottam Das himself, in one of his most famous kirtans, speaks of his own desire to take full shelter. And in this kirtan, he also expands further on the principle that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, that the service to my spiritual master is the only meaning of my life. In the stage of sadhana, then how can that be in the stage of sadhya, in the perfectional stage also? Narottam Das explains that, or he manifests from his heart. Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, Shema Shampada, Shema Bhajana Pujan, Shema Pranadan, Shema Abaran, Shema Jibane Jibon, Shema Rasha Nidhi, Shema Bancha Shidhi, Shema Bedera Dharam, Shebrata Shetapa, Shema Mantra Japa, Shema Dharama Karam. He says that the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, they are my wealth, they are my bhajan and pujan. So sadhana, one word for sadhana, we can say bhajan pujan, or just bhajan, we can say. My worship, my chanting, my study, it's all the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari, that is my bhajan and puja. That is the wealth of my life. That is my decoration. That is the life of my life. That is my Rasha Nidhi. That is my Rasha Nidhi. It's the... Where's Kishore? How do you translate Rasha Nidhi? Is there any way to try? It's the... That for me is the ocean of rasa, we can say. That is the perfection of my desire. We're chanting Hare Krishna. We have so many desires. We have to have Cheto Darpana Marjanam, purify our desires. So we desire this. This is the perfection of my desire. This is my Vedic Dharma, he says, Rupa Manjari's lotus feet. That my vows, my austerities, my chanting of mantras, my dharma, my karma, that is it. So in this way he expands more on this understanding that the service of my spiritual master is my very life, it's my sadhana, even in the perfectional stage, I have nothing else. Narottam Das Thakur is among the most revered acharyas in the Gaudiya line. When we look at him, when we consider him, he's still present in his songs in particular. When Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was once asked how to get prem, he was residing in Navadvip at that time, Gaur Kishore, and he said, get prem that you can get for 2 annas, which is a small amount of money in the monetary system in those days. You can get for 2 annas. It's like saying you can get prem for 50 rupees. You just go in the bazaar in Navadvip, and you get this book, Prem Bhakti Chandrika and Pratana of Narottam Das. You can get prem. It's all there. So Narottam, we have intimate insights into his heart because he has revealed his heart in his songs, and he's so much revered and respected. And if we look at him, we think there cannot be anything higher than this. That's true. But he himself is looking up higher. He doesn't advertise himself that I am an acharya, I am a guru. He doesn't think I am an acharya, but he thinks I am a servant, as we see in his songs again and again and again. He prays, here he's praying to Rupa Mandra, elsewhere he prays to others, so many again and again to his guru. We sing daily, Lokanath Lokera Jivan. We take, when we sing this to Srila Prabhupada, we take Lokanath to mean that Srila Prabhupada is the Lord of his disciples, but actually Narottam Das was praying this to his guru, Lokanath Goswami. So the mood of Narottam Das or any, they're all such high figures, such great figures, but they all think of themselves as a servant. Of course, when they're dealing with their disciples, they have to take that role of instructing and guiding and accepting service. But they themselves identify themselves not as a guru, but always as a servant. We don't find anything in the Narottam Das Thakur songs, nor in the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, nor in the songs of anyone, any Vaishnava Acharya, describing how I am a guru and I have disciples. They always present themselves as a disciple. Narottam Das, of course, we can learn about his life, his dealings. The book is there, Narottam Vilas. And also there's description in Bhakti Ratnaka. Both of these books are from Narahari Chakravarti. He was quite a controversial figure in his time, particularly because he, being of Shudra caste, would initiate even Brahmanas. It was controversial. But we learn that we should not identify a Vaishnava in terms of any material terms. Vaishnave jati buddhi naraki vaisaha. One who judges a Vaishnava in terms of his caste or any such external designation is of hellish intelligence. But we see that Narottam Das himself, he doesn't identify himself as being of such and such a caste or born in such and such a place, but he identifies himself as Vaishnav Das Anudas Anudas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his books, Datta Kostubha, I believe, he gave his genealogical line for the Kedarnath Datta. He gave that genealogical line that's also connected with the family of Narottam Das. Narottam Das didn't marry, but his brother did, and coming down that line, Bhaktivinoda Thakur comes in that line. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he identifies himself as Godruma Vashi, as an eternal resident of Godruma. He had a house, he made a house in Calcutta. And people would criticize. There are always people to criticize. Don't worry if you're criticized. It's been going on since the time of creation. The sons of Maricha, they criticize Brahma. It's been going on. That's envy is there in the material world. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was criticized for attentively supervising the construction of his house in Calcutta. Even he had a bead bag in his hand. They say, well, that seems to be contradictory, because the Babaji's in Navadvip, they have bead bags in their hand and they don't go around building big houses. like a materialist in a materialistic city like Calcutta. So he was criticized by people who don't understand. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explained that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very enthusiastic to build this house because it is Bhakti Bhavan. It is meant for service to the Vaishnavas. And actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur received so many Vaishnavas there and had so many satsangs. And he preached Krishna consciousness in and from that place, understanding that in the modern age, we're talking about the cusp of the, or the turn of the 19th and then the beginning of the 20th century, that was considered modern times. Now we think that's just all very old because that's the way time is. But that was considered very modern and so many new things are coming in. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur understood the importance of being in cities for preaching. And that has continued. Srila Prabhupada started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Well, he founded that in New York City. But the founding, or prior to the founding, was in Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada brought Krishna conscious devotees from the Western world to Vrindavan. He wanted to bring them to Vrindavan. He wasn't attached to New York City. And he wanted to make replicas of Vrindavan all over the world in city preaching centers, and even more of a replica in agrarian communities throughout the world, where devotees could live very similarly to the way that Krishna lived. Srila Prabhupada wanted to do this. And in pursuance of that desire, up to the present time, the followers of Srila Prabhupada, they work very hard, as he worked very hard. They work very hard to distribute his books, to bring more and more people to Krishna consciousness, to bring more and more people to Vrindavan. I hope to see you all again gathered next year. Maybe not here. This place is too small. It became too small. 3,500 people and more. This place is too small. So hopefully there should be more next year. So what are we all going to do between now and then? Well, we're going to chant Hare Krishna. We're going to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. We're going to read Srila Prabhupada's books. We're going to build temples. We're going to bring people and try and induce them to take up Krishna consciousness. So, what's my message to all of you? Well, again, thank you very much for coming and being so faithful to me. Something I should be grateful, again, especially to the preaching leaders, that you're piling more and more service on me, giving me more and more devotees to serve. Srila Prabhupada said the position of a guru is like that of a father, in which he has to guide the juniors so they can grow up and be strong and stand on their own two feet. But again, we learn the position of a father is more of a servant to the child, although the father has a socially superior position, but the father serves the child more than the child serves the father. So I have more and more to serve, and I'm also supposed to engage you all in service in Srila Prabhupada's mission, So I'll tell you what I want to see for the next year. I don't think it'll surprise you because it's pretty much the same as every year. But anyway, I'll say it. I want to see the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books expand. That didn't surprise you. But some of the book distribution in the last year or two has really been surprising, especially in America, taking it to another level. And see what's going on in India also. Every month I look at the World Sankirtan newsletter scores, and India is just, it's just way, way, way ahead of other countries, and not even all the centers report their scores. It's just way up, but it's still only a fraction of what could be done. There's such tremendous scope here in India, something that our movement is just waking up to in the last few years, is the possibility of, instead of going out and distributing one book at a time, distributing whole sets at a time. And there's tremendous scope here in India. Charity begins at home. If in your home you don't have a full set of Srila Prabhupada's books, you must get a full set of Srila Prabhupada's books. And if you only have one set of books, you must get another set of books. At least one extra set of books to give to your next door neighbor. As a matter of fact, you should get many sets of books so that you can distribute. Everyone should distribute. Everyone can be a guru by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Huge, huge scope. Everyone can do it. Just south of Surat, there is some colony or something which I never heard of before. And one devotee there, I recently initiated, her name is Raja Lalana Devi Dasi. She's an illiterate Rajasthani widow, and she's going around and distributing so many sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. And she said, well, I haven't got anything else to do in my life. I don't have anything left now, so this is what I've got to do. So if you have a big education, BSc, MSc, PhD, use it. Go out and tell people, I'm a PhD and I have ascertained that you should take these books. Or whatever. There are some advantages of being older, if your body is 60 plus especially, don't rot away sitting in front of the TV. Of course, I know you don't sit in front of the TV, but don't just sit at home chanting Hare Krishna. Really? Don't sit at home chanting Hare Krishna. That's what I'm telling you. Sit at home chanting Hare Krishna and go outside also and distribute Prabhupada's books. And if you can't carry them because you're too old, ask your local coordinators for some help. You can take orders. Do the needful. Do whatever is required. That Rajalalana Mataji, I don't think she could carry a whole, I don't think she can carry even a set of books. She's small and old, but somehow she's doing so many books. So do it. Just do it. You find out the way to do it. Everyone can do it. The other thing I'm trying to promote, as Srila Prabhupada said, farm, 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 farm. That's a direct quote from Srila Prabhupada. 4 times he said in just like that, develop them more and more. Farm and varnashram. Can sets of books be distributed, full sets of Bhagavatams be distributed to people who never heard of Bhagavatam before? Can it be done repeatedly on a mass scale? If we'd have asked that question a few years ago, the answer would have been no. Now the answer is clearly yes. Can we establish farm communities, varnashram? Now, the answer is yes, we can do and we must do. Now there's a start on a small scale, but we want to do it on a big scale. So many Grihastha devotees, you come and say, well, we don't have time for chanting. With so much pressure, so much stress, city life. Well, we have the answer. Farm, 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 farm. Don't have to live in that hellish city. Or if you are living in that hellish city, then at least go out and distribute sets of books. We don't talk about distributing books anymore. We talk about distributing sets of books. It's progressive spiritualism. You can start by just reading small books, bigger books, then sets of books. Do whatever you can. It's cause for great celebration and happiness. Especially we see what's going on in Atlanta. Maybe most of you hadn't heard it. That there is a city called Atlanta. Now, so many devotees all over the world are learning that there is a place called Atlanta, which is in Georgia, which you probably never heard of either, unless you're from Russia, but that's a different Georgia. Georgia is a state in America, and it also used to be a state in the USSR. Anyway, there's a joke in that regard which I won't tell now. So many things that seem to be impossible. I'm still desiring to see preaching to Muslims expanded more and more and more. It's hardly started yet. There's scope, there's possibility. Recently I got an email from my very old friend, practically since the first days I was allowed in this movement, Jnanananda Maharaj, who's taken up trying to get the Krishna consciousness movement sorted out in France. That was another impossible job which he's made possible. Everyone else gave up on France, if they even tried, but he's doing the impossible and getting preaching going in France again after a long, long lull. And he wrote and said that they have 5 Muslims who have joined recently. And they're all out on book distribution in France. So there is great hope. And I have an idea which It's coming about. It's coming out of the stage of just thinking about it. Reincarnation is a fact. We have to promote this widely everywhere. That's done in a general way by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. But to particularly emphasize this point, Srila Prabhupada preaching in the Western world, the major point which he emphasized again and again and again, we are not the body. So reincarnation is a fact is another way of emphasizing that. And we have to emphasize it among the Hindus also because they don't believe it. If they believed it, they wouldn't be living such foolish lives as the great majority of Hindus do. They believe it, yeah, kind of believe it. They don't really believe it. So that really has to be emphasized. And then that just pops the balloon of so many strange philosophies and theologies. Preaching among tribals is going on. There are so many from tribal backgrounds right here now, from Orissa, from Andhra, from Gujarat, right here now. You want to see that expanded more and more. Another thing, there's so many things we should be doing, but another thing I'm thinking of which we haven't done much is that just like you see in Bombay, if you fly in from the south, especially if you come up from Mangalore side, if you fly into Bombay, you'll see miles and miles of slums. We should have our centers there, big centers. Kirtan, prasad distribution. So many people will come. Everyone will appreciate. We should be doing that. We are talking about Baroda in the 1990s. We used to go sometimes in the slum areas for doing Harinam and book distribution. In the padyatras and other things, we should increase more and more and more. Prabhupada said we can have millions of such carts. Now gradually there are a few. Apart from the All India Padyatra, there's the UP Padyatra, the Orissa Padyatra, the Telangana Padyatra. It's like the lights here, sometimes on, sometimes off. Gujarat, we have it's Bharuch district Padyatra. But they are fine. They go in a village and they stay 2 days in a village. Why 2 days? 1 day with the upper castes, which is mostly Patels, and another day with the so-called Dalits, because the Patels won't come if you do a program with the Dalits. But the Dalits are more receptive. They take more books. They're more interested. We have great scope for preaching. Of course, for years we've been interested in preaching in the IITs and the, what is it? Anyway, big prestigious schools. But there's tremendous scope for preaching here in India and among the so-called Dalits, downtrodden. And certain people have realized that, like Christians and Muslims. So better we get to them first, let them all chant Hare Krishna, rather than being brainwashed to hate the Vedic culture. Let's get to them. School preaching, tremendous scope for that. Sridhar Srinivas Prabhu, is there going to be a presentation on that? There is. Did the devotees from Mira Road come? They came. All right. Recently I was in Mira Road in Mumbai and some devotees came to see me and they briefly told me about the preaching they're doing in schools. So I asked them to come to this festival. They probably didn't even know there was this festival here, but they've kindly come. And they're going to give a presentation on, many of you are preaching in schools, but they've been doing systematically for some time and really having a good effect. And this is something that we should expand more and more and more. So that presentation is when? Okay, it's scheduled, but we're not sure when. So I request you all to attend that about school preaching way down in the deep south. Vednarayan Prabhu and his team, they're also doing village preaching, school preaching, so many things to be increased. One other thing I'm going to request you all is that, you know, I am an advocate of speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service, and I also published a book in that regard. One thing I have to learn, and you also, some of you have to learn, is that speaking strongly doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be rough and nasty. Srila Prabhupada was known for speaking strongly. He was also known as a perfect gentleman, very kind. How those two qualities can be in one person, we can learn from the personality of Srila Prabhupada. I have emphasized very much on speaking strongly. And among the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, some of those who have accepted the service of being a guru, they have very much emphasized polite dealings, gentlemanly dealings, and their disciples are known for being courteous, polite, well-behaved, really trying to be pleasant, which is a welcome quality in this nasty world. So I'm going to try and be a nicer person without being sentimentally bubblegum sweet. You can also point out to me when I don't do that. Just 2-3 days ago, one of my sannyasi godbrothers said to me that I don't realize I'm doing it. I think I'm just talking to people and they go away and they think I was really heavy and I really heavied them out. And I just thought I was talking to them. So that's why when I first heard German being spoken, two German devotees, it was Atma Vidya and Kostuba. We were doing something somewhere. And I thought, wow, they're really heavy with each other. And then I said, what was, after they spoke, I said, what was wrong? He said, oh, you're just talking, that's all. It's just the way the language is, it sounds really rough. So we may not realize. So that's something I'm going to try to bear in mind too. And you can try and help me. I'm not saying you're all like that, because many of you are very cultured. I don't come from such a background, so. Of course, being a gentlemanly and nice and pleasant without Krishna consciousness is useless, but it's one of those things that if you have enough zeros and you put a one with it, it becomes magnified more and more and more. So if we're able to speak strongly, without sacrificing speaking strongly, try to be pleasant with others, that will be a great quality we could all try and work on. And above all, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That's the main thing for everyone, wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever you may be, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Of course, I know that many devotees, apart from their Krishna consciousness, they're not very happy with their material situation, family problems, legal problems, monetary problems, no problems, but they imagine they have problems. Some devotees are really suffering. I was just thinking last night about some of those devotees, as we were singing, Namo Deva Damo Dara Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabho Dukkha Jalabdi Magnam. Be merciful to me, O Lord. I am plunged in the ocean of misery. Kripa Drishti Vishjati Dinam Batanu Grihane Shamam Agyam Edyakshi Drishaha. With shower me with your glance of mercy. Be kind to me, who am very fallen and foolish. And let me see you. Not, let me not see my dukkha. Let me see you. Dukkha dure gelo, chinta na rahilo. Chodike ananda deki. This should be the result of Krishna consciousness. Atmanivedana tuapade kari hainu paramasuki. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we'll find in many of his songs he describes his distress. Again and again he sings in his song Sharanagati series, which is, a lot of it is autobiographical. He expresses his distress, how he, in his own estimation, wasted his life. But then it's Sharanagati, taking shelter of Krishna. What is that? Toma Charan Bina. What is that? Sab Shakalini Rasha. Everything. No hope. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, without the shelter of your lotus feet. So we find that if we actually surrender to Krishna, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying to us, in the, materially he felt his situation to be very distressful. Even though he was a material success, as he was expected to be, having had the best modern education and mixed with the elite, or elite as they say in Indian English, of Calcutta. He was successful materially, but he felt himself very much distressed with family affairs and poor health. But then, Atanivedan Tuapade Kori, Hoino Paramashuki. Despite so much distress, and taking shelter, completely surrendering, offering ourselves fully at the lotus feet of Krishna, become fully happy. Dukkha dure galo. All my unhappiness has gone far away. Chintana rohilo. No more anxiety. Chodike anandadeki. On all sides, I simply see happiness. So many devotees are feeling so much distress in so many ways. There's really no solution. There's no solution except to fully surrender to Krishna. That's all. That in itself may seem to be very difficult. How do we do that? Again, I have to emphasize that if we try to please Srila Prabhupada, we can't go wrong. Distributing books, we know Srila Prabhupada is going to be pleased. So whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Try and distribute these books also. And there's some magic potency in distributing these books, that when we see people take these books, then Krishna blesses our heart with happiness. Even if we don't feel any compassion, or we don't feel like doing it, it's a great way to get happy, distributing these books. You're all feeling happiness in this festival. Festival means Mahotsava, great bliss. Oh, there's a festival going out on the streets of the cities of the world. It doesn't look like a festival. It's a festival of book distribution in which people have no idea what is going on when they take a book of Srila Prabhupada's. They have no idea, no idea what they're getting introduced to. What a possibility is there. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Try to make others happy also. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhya shakripa sindhubhya evacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya chunakang padeyo nepatya kritvacha kakushatam etad ahambravini. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charane kurutanu raga parivadatu jano yata tatava nanu mokarona vayang vicharayama hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilotama nartama nirish. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.